order the Westlake City Schools regular board meeting for Friday, June the 28th, 2019. Roll call.
Kraft.
Here.
Fanouken.
Here.
And Winter.
Here.
Ms. Lozinski and Dr. Stoller unavailable for today's meeting.
Everyone would join me with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Winter.
Yes.
Fanouken.
Yes.
Kraft.
Yes.
Motion carries.
At this time, we have our initial hearing of the public. If someone would like to address the board, raise your hand and let me know that you're coming up to have some words. Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? I know that we've all received copies of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
So this is typically done in a voice vote, so it would be all in favor, say aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say no. The minutes are approved. At this time, I would like to call Director Andrew Mangles up from the Porter Public Library.
My apologies for my attire.
Summer.
I'm golfing right today.
Oh.
Connecting for kids.
Okay, fair enough.
So it all started 135 years ago. I'm trying to get out of golfing.
Yes.
Thank you for having us here. What you should have in front of you is our tax budget for the year, which we're statutorily required to present. I know this is for the general public, though most people here know this. Porter Library is a school district library, which means that the school district is our taxing authority. So we are obligated to come to you and present our tax budget. You are then obligated to approve it. At that point, it would go to the county budget commission and be filed. It's a budget that is I guess I would call it a best guess budget. There will certainly be a lot that will change in that budget before the end of the year. We'll start to work on our temporary budget later this fall. I'd also like to, before I get too far in, introduce some of our guests. I'm very, very pleased to say that we have one of our trustees, Bob Plants, one of our long-term trustees, and also a new employee at Porter Library, CJ Liz. CJ is the assistant director at Porter Library, and he's been there about 3 months, but I think the amount of work he's done so far is more like 3 years. So he's been a fantastic addition to the library, and it shows in a lot of things that are happening just in the last months. So we're really fortunate to have him on board. Because Porter Library retains people for a really long time, we have a lot of retirements at about the same time. So we've also filled a few other key positions. We're very excited. We have a new special needs resource librarian and a new young adult librarian. So there's some new friendly faces at the library if you have to come in and say hello to them. There's two sides to the budget, as always, the revenue and expenses. The expenses, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because, again, they're just best guesses, and the categories do not change much from year to year. On the revenue side, what's notable, we have our levy that passed in 2018 overwhelmingly with an over 80% affirmation, so we're very excited about that. And so that amount stays stable for 5 years, and it's pretty predictable. The other source of revenue that we're always concerned about is the public library fund, which is the money we get from the state. And what I can report to you right now that is at least looking like good news for now. The state biennium budget that is headed towards the conference committee to be resolved has in it a resolution from the Senate to change our PLF funding from 1.68 to 1.7% of the general revenue fund. And I'm very pleased to say that those are, in part, the efforts of a lot of people, but Senator Dolan, Matt Dolan, who is the chair of the Finance Committee of the Senate, championed that, and we hope that that gets through, and if it stays in the budget, with the next biennium budget, the libraries in Ohio will get 1.7 of the general revenue fund. And that, it won't mean a ton more money for us, but every little bit helps, and it would be good news. And it'd also be great affirmation from the legislature that they value public libraries and they see the value of what we're doing. So some examples of the value of what we're doing, and since this budget, the tax budget, is really has a lot to do with next year. I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing this year and next year. Programming is really big, and in 2020, we will continue that. But to give you some idea of the programs that we're doing and things that are going on at the library that will be continued in the following year, I'll give you one example because it was a really nifty example, which was on Monday night, we had 150 people show up to the library for spread over three programs that were all at the same time, right? So you can imagine all these people descending on the library just for programs. And we had three programs. One was a program on technology about drones. So people could kind of experiment, see what a drone did and how to fly it. We had our very long running and successful investor interest group program. And then we had a program on LGBTQ, which was called Cleveland is So Gay. And it was the history of LGBT in Cleveland. And as CJ so aptly put it, he was kind of looking at the crowd and he said, 150 people came in, you couldn't tell who was going to what program, which was just kind of a neat way to say our public is everybody, and they came in, and there's a lot of interest there. So we are very heavy into the programming, and that will continue in 2020. Our school project, we're still looking to make that connection with a path between the two buildings, working with the teachers, and doing lots of great projects. Something that's really new that we're writing a grant for, and we will be implementing some programming that I think will get a foothold this year, but will be, it is a trend in public libraries, it's a trend in society, and I'm sure Pete's real aware of this, but we think there's an opportunity for us to work with the schools on VR and AR, virtual reality and augmented reality. So we'll be purchasing the headsets and utilizing, we saw a product at a conference this week that's books for children where they can read a couple pages, then there's a QR code that they can have the goggles on, and it will bring that portion of the story to a 3D augmented reality situation. We think there'll be a lot of opportunity to work with school and share that technology with the school district. Our summer reading challenge is going on this year, as it will next year, and it is going great guns. Again, how we're helping to promote literacy and how that ties back to the school is helping with that summer slide so that the kids come back to school in the fall more ready to go than they would have been otherwise. I would also, just a couple, I will finish up with a couple of upcoming dates that you might want to be aware of. And the first is the ice cream social at the end of the month. I hope that you can all be there. And it is the last Monday of July. I believe it's the 29th, is that about right? Monday, July 29th. Get there early because, you know, we usually have about 1,000 people show up to that, and they make a flavor just for us, Porter Patty Mint, and you can only get it that night. So that's kind of nifty. We are also, your new teachers that are coming in, for years and years and years, the Chamber has had a new teachers luncheon that is usually the second August of the month. And over the last, this is breaking news by the way, the last couple of days, it turned out it was not gonna work out for Bay Village, and we really wanted them to participate, so I actually rehauled the whole thing, and now what we're doing is a breakfast on Wednesday, August 7th at 8:30 at Claudette's restaurant in Westlake. It is newly renovated under new ownership. It's a really great restaurant. So we're gonna have the event there. It'll be a morning event, 8:30, 9:30, teachers come in, get that out, I don't mean to get it out of the way, but you know, they can do that and then go back to the school instead of breaking up in the middle of the day. The teacher's luncheon was 3 hours, you know, out of the day for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we think this is gonna be a better model. We're working with Superintendent Goggin and Superintendent Hausman to think about who we can bring into that program to put in front of the teachers, to talk about the resources in the community that would be helpful to them in their career. So we think it's gonna be a really great event, and we would encourage you to attend if you can. Ice cream social. And then it's a little far out, but I'd like you to, it's kind of a save the date. I'm on the board of the Far West Center, which is a resource here in Westlake that helps people with mental health issues and drug and alcohol addiction issues. They're on the campus of West Shore or St. John Medical Center. And we are having on, I think it's Thursday, October 3rd, an open house. So that people who are in the community who aren't even aware that it's there or what they do can come in and get a sense of what Far West Center is about. I think there's been some connection. They have a CompUSA program that is very visible with their art in the community. And so you will all be getting formal save the dates and invites. But if you can get that on your calendar, I think it would be really nifty for you to see that resource in the community and how it might help folks in the district.
Excuse me, what was the date on that again?
It is October 3rd.
Okay.
And I believe we're going to run it from, I want to say 6 to 8.
Thanks.
Should be a good event. And then just lastly, last time I was before you, we did a citizens advisory update. And just so you know, that committee is continuing forward. We emailed our team, and it looks like everybody on that team is coming back. So that's great news. It'd be nice to even add another person or two. We're having an organizational meeting on July 15th, Monday, to start brainstorming and get the ground rules set and the collection of topics and ideas so that we can already, believe it or not, start on our next research project for 2020. So with that, I will, as much as I know, stop and we have to go golfing. I would entertain any questions that you might have about the library or our budget for the upcoming year.
Sounds like you got a lot of exciting things going on.
Yeah.
We have a lot going on. It is amazing to me. And with the construction out front, which has been lovely, by the way, thank you very much. Thank the board for the construction out front. It has probably slowed things a little, but not a ton. I mean, I'm surprised out there. There have been days when it's a kind of a heavy construction day and the lot's still full. You know, people find their way in. So it's been it's not been too disruptive, and we're excited about the final outcome. And it's going well, but there's just, I'm mind boggled every day. I'm like, we're doing that. Just like we want to be great partners with the school, I spoke with Lydia Gadd from the Community Service Department, and she said, we're doing stuff together, we need to do more. And we feel that way about the school district as well. We do lots of great stuff together. We want to be in a position to help support what the school is doing. That mission of education is very important to me personally and our board, mm-hmm. and I know it is you as well. So anything that we can do to help support those missions.
It's always exciting to see what's going on at the library. It's always exciting to experience your enthusiasm. And I have an opportunity to drive by the library often. And that 150 people attending events, it seems like it is every single night. Parking lot is packed, and there's always great things going on at the library, and you've been a great partner as well with the schools, and we're excited to continue that relationship and that partnership.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. Thank you just especially for the work you're doing to partner with us with the new elementary going in. And that construction will be done very soon.
It will. Yes, and we're very excited about it. And for what it's worth, I know most of you know, I do live in the community. I live in Westlake. I have a lot of opportunity to have contacts with people, and you won't find a bigger prophesizer for that new school. I've had the great fortune to tour it two or three times now, mm-hmm. and most of what I'm hearing in the community is positive. Either they don't really know, mm-hmm. or it's positive. I'm not really hearing anybody saying, "Oh, I'm going to school, it's going to be." I'm not hearing any of that.
That's nice.
But usually, I get the opportunity to say, "You all are going to love this school. It's going to be amazing." And we're already. I'm in a couple of different groups with Mr. Kraft as well. That we're looking at new and creative ways. I mean, I can barely wait for the school because I'm like, ooh, we've got some great ideas on how to use that campus, because I know it started with Dr. Keenan, but the idea that the public needs to see the schools, mm-hmm. they're not just there for the students, and mm-hmm. I think that's a really great thing. So I'm out there, telling what I see, and what I see is a beautiful school being built, and Dave's doing a fantastic job over there. It's just, mm-hmm. it's outstanding. So congratulations
well, thank you.
To you all. You're going to have an award-winning building, I know.
Thank you so much.
Anything else for the director?
No, everything looks great.
And I know at this time as well, we invite the director this presentation, and it also is an opportunity to invite the public for any public comment that anyone wishes to share at this time. Anyone wish to address the board or the director at this time? All right. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Have a lovely day. I shall not go golf.
Thank you. So we need to vote.
So at this time, is there a motion to approve the resolution to approve the Westlake Porter Public Library 2020 tax budget?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
No, I again just will reiterate what we all have said is we really so appreciate all of our partnerships.
Now that he's gone.
Yeah, now we can really talk.
One of the reasons we are so fortunate is really because of him. He has become, in the years that he's been here, it's now over 10, he has really become an ambassador for the city. And his influence extends well beyond just the confines of Westlake. And people know him now from really across the country, particularly in Ohio. And a lot of that attributes fall back and illuminate not only our library, but I think the school district and the community at large. So a lot of our success is really due to his capabilities. So we're very fortunate.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. That is absolutely true. And the continued governance of wonderful people like you on the Board of Trustees. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else? All right, roll call.
Finucane?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Motion carries.
We're going to move on to informative reports and recognitions, the superintendent's report.
I'll wait for my overview during my report.
Okay. We'll move on then to the treasurer's report.
Yeah, I'll just say very briefly, I appreciate your time this morning. One of the reasons that we meet here on the last business day of June is our fiscal year runs July 1st to June 30th. It really gives us one last opportunity to approve appropriations. So, you know, the county sets guidelines for us called an amended certificate. The board works within those guidelines by setting appropriations, and then the administration works to set budgets. And all of those have to be in compliance. And as we move things around and do some purchasing or move money from area to area, we seek board approval for the appropriation measure. And really, this is more so than anything, and one last opportunity to make sure that we're compliant and everything is in order for the year. So I appreciate you taking your time this morning to be here and giving me this opportunity to bring the appropriation measure in front of you for your consideration. And I'll just move into my recommendations if it's okay.
Sure.
Because of them being appropriations, I am going to go through the first couple and do them individually, ask for them to be approved individually, and then we can group the rest of them. But so the first one that we have on here is our permanent appropriations for FY19. So that's the year that we're currently in. And actually, bear with me for a second. So this permanent appropriations for FY19, and this is available on board docs for everyone to look up, and the board has looked at it here. And the good thing about it is, even from the May board meeting when we did the five-year forecast, when it's all said and done here, it looks like we're coming in about $1.4 million less than what we had anticipated for this year. So this year's appropriations, I'm asking the board to formally approve $51,466,785.53. So this would be, again, broken down on our general fund there. The second page of the appropriation measure there is all of our other funds. So where we have bond retirement or the building project and things like that. So in total, we're running about $103 million across all of our funds. So that's what I'm seeking approval for, appropriation measure here. If there's any questions on appropriations, I'm happy to answer those for you on permanent appropriations. And if not, I'd ask for to move forward with a motion.
I would say, what was one of your the main drivers of coming in a little bit lower?
You know, as we look at the appropriation measure here, I try to put down on the bottom line there, under or over the forecast. So when we look at it here, some of the ones that were a little bit interesting is, and really this is to the credit of the administrative staff, okay, the administrative team from the superintendent and the entire administrative team. You know, we've been focusing on this year on a couple different things. One, trying to use PI where it's appropriate, but also with our elementary schools, not necessarily buying new equipment because we know that under the building project, we have a lot of new, you know, furniture and fixtures that are coming into the new school. So you'll see there, you know, the equipment we're coming in almost $400,000 less than what we had anticipated. Again, I don't think that's a long-term shift for us. I think this is a one-year type piece. But then really, you know, just like everything else, the biggest things are salary and benefits. You know, we don't make widgets. We're not a manufacturing company. We're in the people business. So we hire people to educate students. And in turn, they're entitled to be paid fairly for that. So salary and benefits make up the vast majority of our expenditures in general. To the credit of the board who had worked on putting a plan together of the consolidation of the four buildings, to the credit of the community who supported the passage of the bond issue, and the work of the administrative team, specifically Mr. Sheets and HR, we've really been able to hold back a little bit on some of our expenditures in personnel, and in turn that will directly tie to savings and benefits as well. So where we're looking at, even from May, you know, we're going to be coming in about $600,000, a little more than $600,000 less than what we anticipated in salary and benefits. And again, that's tied to just personnel, where we've made those changes. Right now, June 30th, we have a number of our staff who are leaving us, who were on a two-year retire-rehire program that was very targeted, very specific. It was one with our classified staff where we know we would have the most amount of reductions. Later on, and I will skip forward to Mrs. Maxwell, will cover a portion in one of the superintendent's recommendations, is we had laid off 8 classified staff members in March. A resolution in there is already to recall 4 of them back. This is not adding new jobs, but this is by attrition of other people who have left. A job has opened up, we're able to recall them. So because of that retire-rehire program and some of the smart hiring moves that the administration has done with the direction of the board, we're able to constrain those costs without having a massive impact on doing reductions in force.
Any other questions? Is there a motion to approve 5A, the resolution to approve fiscal year 2019 permanent appropriations?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
I'd just like to thank the entire administration for continuing to be good stewards of the community's financials.
Absolutely. And Todd, I really do appreciate your thorough explanations every time we do have financial matters in front of the board. I think that's very beneficial, not only for us, but also for our community. So thank you so much.
Your willingness to meet and talk just about 24/7. So thank you. Yeah. Roll call.
Winter?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next one that we have on here is going to be our temporary appropriations for fiscal year 20. So that's up on the screen here, and like I've done in the past, I would ask the board to consider doing it again here. Is I recommend setting our temporary appropriations at 70% of what we spent for our permanent appropriations in the previous year, or the fiscal year 19 that we're in right now. But temporary appropriations are in place under the law to allow us to move forward over the first 3 months of our new fiscal year. So July, August, and September, we typically are allowed to work under temporary appropriations. This gives us time to build our budgets, our formal budgets, and present a formal budget to the board no later than the end of September. By October 1st, permanent appropriations have to be in place. So as we work through this, I have a general fund number in there of $36,026,749.87. We're not going to come anywhere close to spending that in the first 3 months, but again, this is based solely off of a straight line 70% of what we spent in the previous fiscal year. This allows us to maintain payroll as we work on our permanent budget. It allows us to maintain some purchases out of some of our departments that are working through the summer, the business office, academic services, as we're trying to get things ordered for the new school year. It allows those type of purchases. The second page of that appropriation measure has our non-general fund ones, and this is not based on a percentage, but this is based directly on the amended certificate from Cuyahoga County. They give us an estimate of what our resources are available. This you'll see it's all over the board on this. It's just a straight estimate, and by July 15th, I have to certify our fund balances to the county. Then I'll get a new amended certificate, so we'll change these numbers when we have an updated amended certificate that better reflects what our spending will be in other funds for the new fiscal year.
Questions? Is there a motion to approve 5B, the resolution to approve fiscal year 2020 temporary appropriations?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Finucane?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, so the rest of them here I'll kind of group together if it's okay with the board. And we'll roll through. So we have a return of advance. Last year we had advanced Project Link $25,000. I'd like to return that advance. I try to keep advances within the same fiscal year for tracking purposes. And I call that out specifically, and I'll go over that in a second. And because I also have the stadium turf fund of $37,500 we advanced back in January when we made the payment. Again, for fiscal year purposes, I try to get it returned in the same fiscal year. Now, with that being said, the next advance, or the next resolution is an advance, not a return, but rather an advance to funds. So the first one, the stadium turf fund, I'm still working with UH to get our invoice processed and receive payment for their sponsorship of the athletic stadium over at the high school. That check or cash has not come in yet before the end of the fiscal year here. So while I'm asking you to return the advance for tracking purposes within the same fiscal year, I am asking for an immediate advance back because we have not received that money. And if I return it and don't do a new advance, I will be out of compliance because I'll have a fund in the negative. Now on Project Link has done really works on very, very small margins. They provide a phenomenal program for the students of Westlake. You've got Camp Link going on in the building right now. But they do run on very thin margins. And last year we had advanced money to them. I'll be honest, I'm asking for an advance of $10,000 this year. This is really more for my mental well-being than what they actually need. It looks like they're gonna come in just make it in the black with the receipts coming in here over the next yesterday, today, and the weekend before the fiscal year ends. But for my own comfort and sanity, I would ask that we do make that advance. If all the money does come in, we can return it very quickly. Advances are just loans, they're not gifts. Transfers are the gifts, so we will get the money back. But I would ask that we do the advance to Project Link. The rest of them listed on there are all of our federal grants. So a number of years ago, the federal government changed the way that they fund grants. They used to allow us to request money up front and say, hey, you know what, we're gonna spend it in this month, so please give us the money. They changed it around and said, no, you can't do that anymore. Now you have to spend the money first, okay, and then you request reimbursement within your grant fund. So, we have a million plus dollars in federal grants. This is about $200,000$251,000 or so in grants that I'm asking the board to advance because we are in the negative on. Here in July, once the system opens back up, because it's currently closed right now for the end of the fiscal year, once the system opens back up, we will request that money back, and we return these advances relatively very, very quickly because it is just a process with the federal government requesting those funds. So I expect the money to come back in July, and we can return those advances, but I can't end the fiscal year in the negative on any of my funds, so I would need the advance out of general fund.
Okay.